You're listening to a Yes Music Podcast interview special. Okay, I'm delighted that Liam Barnes has been able to join me tonight to talk about his experiences of a Yes concert in the 2011 European tour. Thanks very much indeed for coming along, Liam.
You're welcome.
Great. So you wrote a review recently, which I know a lot of Yes fans have read, on a website called Mancunian Matters. Can you tell us a bit about that website and how you came to write that review?
Yeah, well, Mancunian Matters, it's I think the technical jargon is a hyperlocal news website, so it covers just the area around Greater Manchester. I trained with the people who run the website, and so I've staying on, and I'm still contributing towards it. And the opportunity to interview Steve Howe came about, and well, as a big prog fan, I'm not exactly going to turn it down. And so as well, we got the tickets for the review at the Apollo, and yeah, it just went from there, really.
That's great. So you've actually met the great man himself.
Well, I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately. I had to interviewed him over the phone from their rehearsal in Portugal. But he was a lovely man to chat to. I think I was supposed to have 10 minutes, and we were close on 20, talking about just various prog rock details, and just a bit more about the new album and everything. And so it was a really good chat, and certainly one of the best interviews I've done.
Great. Well, I'd forgotten about you, that interview you'd done, and I'll put the link to that in the show notes for this interview. That'd be great. So would you class yourself as quite a recent convert to Yes and to prog rock itself?
Probably more recent to Yes. In terms of prog rock, I sort of came at it by a circuitous route, really. I've always been, I think, since the early teens, I've been a big classic rock and sort of heavy metal fan. I mean, Led Zeppelin sort of were deified very early on. And I think in terms of prog rock, it was mainly Pink Floyd until probably about 18 months ago, when sort of through Last FM particularly and Spotify, engaged to more bands like Jethro Tull and Traffic, Atomic Rooster, Rush, Alan Parsons, all of the great and varied wonderful talents of prog. And Yes, particularly since I wanted to do some research on the Steve Howe and stuff for the interview, I've got into the Yes particularly strongly. And I think they're pretty much the band I've listened to the most in the last few months. Since then, they've been, really getting into them now, and especially as a result of the gig. I mean, they were excellent.
Great. Well, tell us a bit about the gig then that you were privileged to go and see. It was in Manchester. Tell us a bit about the venue, because most people won't know the venue.
Yeah, well, the Apollo, it's basically I think it's the second biggest, I think, in Manchester after the MEN, which is a cavernous, really. And it's basically a grand old sort of theatre. They do a lot of the comedy gigs when they come there. And so it's a pretty prestigious venue in terms of the area. And I think Yes have played there a few times before, from what I remember from Steve Howe saying. So it's a familiar venue. It's always a good show there as well. I've seen Judas Priest there a couple of times. Megadeth, I think, we're supporting them on one of them. So I've seen Saxon and Motorhead. It is a big venue.
And what kind of atmosphere was there? I mean, you say it's not a big barn of a place. Was it a good atmosphere in there when you got there?
Yeah, it was a good atmosphere. It was. You could see and hear all the anticipation of everyone outside. It's one of those. It's almost in a residential area, and then it's on a main road, so you can see people walking in for quite a way. And it tends to, it's a bit like a football match with that. It tends to build up the atmosphere before you even get there. And just from the milling around inside, you tell people were really into it. All the people discussing which songs they wanted to be played.
Real Yes fan audience then.
Yeah. I think it always is with the older bands. You do tend to get the more knowledgeable audience, even from the young kids coming. They tend to know a lot about what they're listening to, and I think you very rarely heard people thinking that they were going to play entirely, only Owner of a Lonely Heart. Most people were hoping they'd play all sorts of obscure songs from some of the other albums. One woman insistent on Gates of Delirium being played, but she unfortunately didn't.
No, I would have been quite surprised if they'd gone into that one, certainly. So on to what they did play, the set list itself. How did you feel it hung together?
I thought it was really well done. I mean, Yours Is No Disgrace is my favourite Yes song, so starting on that was always good for me, especially with the wonderful solo Hal did at the end when it was brilliant. And then I think it was really a bold decision to base the set around effectively Fly From Here, because you expected a few of the newer songs to come in, but not necessarily all, the epic seven-parter. And I thought particularly the new stuff stood up really well compared to some of the more classic tracks. And I thought it was a great balanced set. It had, I think, only the one from Drama, Tempest Fugit, wasn't it? But it was an excellent show and a really good set list.
Okay, so the performances, did you think there was anything slightly less polished in the older ones, and the Fly From Here stuff was really good, or were the older ones well done as well?
Well, the older ones were, I think a standout possibly would have been Starship Trooper, where Chris Squire particularly was on top for me. He was brilliant, just sort of leaning into the crowd. I think he did actually have some blokes through this weird, one of those Guinness hats you get on St. Patrick's Day, threw that up, and so Squire popped it on and was strolling around the stage with a giant stupid hat on, and it was excellent, really. And Heart of the Sunrise as well was really well performed, and Roundabout, all of the classics really were just as well done. I think maybe in the newer stuff you could tell Jeff Downes and Ben were a little bit more familiar with it, but everything was very well done.
Yeah, it was interesting you mentioned Owner of a Lonely Heart. Of course, they didn't do that. And I've been saying to people as I've talked to them that maybe that's down to Steve Howe's dislike of playing it, because it's really not his kind of a piece at all. But do you think there were some people who really were there who were disappointed not to hear it?
No one that I heard as I was leaving. Personally, I wasn't. I've never been particularly partial to that song. Again, I came in sort of via other prog bands and metal, so I preferred naturally the sort of more classic era and some of the other stuff like that. I think I heard people saying they would have rather maybe Going for the One played instead of possibly One for Story, which I would side with, but there was no one really going on about Owner of a Lonely Heart at all.
No, okay. And Benoit, David, you've already said he did well. How did you think he came across?
Well, it's a bit hard for me to judge because I haven't seen John Anderson perform. So I think there might be people who've been to more concerts who could give a better comparison. But I thought he did really well. He did hold his own. It's I think everyone has to be aware that it is a very difficult position he's in to come after such an iconic singer. And he did perform really well. I think he was probably a bit stronger on the newer material that he's been a part of. But I don't think there are any moments throughout the show where you can think, Jesus, he's not up to it. I think he really did well.
That's good to know. And the other new boy, or rather returning boy, of course, being Jeff Downes, how was he?
Well, it's such a different style, Jeff Downes, from say Rick Wakeman or you know, Patrick Mraz on Relay. It's a very different way of playing the keyboard. He seems to be more atmospheric rather than necessarily as much of a virtuoso. Stylistic difference, but he did really well. And Temper Fugit, obviously he has his piece in there, especially when he says yes through the keyboard thing. It did really well. Sorry, I'm not very technical on all that.
That's okay.
He did well. I mean, he's such a skilled and storied performer through various other bands. I think it'd be hard to find any reason to criticise him.
Yes, and I've heard from the people I've talked to as well, and the reviews that I've read, that Steve Howe and Chris Squire are absolutely, perhaps even playing the best that they've ever played.
Well, that could well be the case. I mean, Chris Squire was just a tower of strength throughout the whole show, and particularly at the end when he thanked everyone for being loyal, you could tell it really meant something to him, and it wasn't just one of those when they say you're the best show we've had on tour. There was nothing generic about it. It was really heartfelt, and it was nice to be there. And Steve Howe, I think, the more and more I listen to Yes, the more I think that man is just horrifically underrated. Mm. He's just such a good guitarist in any style he does. Everything he does is brilliant. And sheer variety of instruments. You sort of lose count after a while.
Yes.
But you can't think of anyone who's better than him on. And I've always tended to be of the school that Jimmy Page is probably who I'd say my favourite guitarist is. But I'm starting to rethink it regarding the challenge from Howe.
Hmm. And I've been heartened with these interviews because I know there was some concern about Alan White looking absolutely exhausted at the end of the gigs and not keeping time very well. But everyone I've spoken to has said that's nonsense. He's been really, really up for it, really playing well. And yes, looking tired at the end. But then again, the guy's, mid-60s. So it's hardly surprising. What did you think of his performance?
Well, every drummer's going to look tired at the end of a two-hour gig. It's going to happen. I don't think he looked more tired than any other drummer I've seen. I've seen quite a lot of virtuoso drummers over the years, and thinking of Mickey D particularly, who obviously has to do Overkill and Motorhead, which is just quite a physical feat in itself. And I certainly didn't think, well, Alan White looks much worse than Mickey D at the end of that. It's I don't really know why people have said that. I think maybe he just had one off day, and it's just some people, I don't know, not really sure.
No. How was it received by the audience then? Was there lots of people shouting, where's John, or where's Rick, or where's Oliver, or anything like that?
No, the only thing that was being shouted was this one woman who, any time there was a moment of quiet, would just shout Gates of Delirium. She got quite a few sort of laughs for it.
Maybe it was a very sarcastic request.
I don't think it was. I think she was just mad. But that was the only thing really that stuck in my mind in terms of what the crowd was shouting. I mean, everyone at the front was loving it, especially when Chris Squire took the bloke's hat. I think there were sporadic standing ovations throughout the night. I think particularly after Howe's solo numbers, there was after Starship Trooper, and then obviously at the end when everyone comes on their feet pretty much, well, as far as I could see from my seat. It was a really good crowd. It's a good thing with prog rock and again with some of the other classic bands. I was at Steve Hackett the day before in the RNCM Theatre just on Oxford Road here, and there was the same sort of level of appreciation for everything, and everyone knew the stuff. Everyone, nobody had come expecting something else to happen. Everyone really knew what was going to transpire, and everyone was appreciative of it.
That's great. I know some people have mentioned the fact that there's only one encore, and perhaps it could have been split in a different place and done two tracks after it. But did that go down okay?
Yeah, that went down fine. I mean, I think that's just nitpicking, really. It's weird with modern concerts now, and everyone does an encore, really, as a just a formality. I don't really see why that's an issue. I mean, and Roundabout as well is a 10-minute song when you do it live, so and it was really well done. And I think any possible disgruntlement from some of the fans would have been allayed when Chris Squire just showed how much it meant to them that, you know, everyone had been such a good audience for them. And so, no, I think there's minimal dislike over that.
Yeah. Okay, so would you go again? I mean, this was your first Yes concert, so would you go again?
Yeah, and I definitely paid to go as well. the press ticket, yes, an advantage. But, no, I definitely would go again, and I think I'll try and persuade a couple of my friends as well to come along and convert a few more to prog rock.
Sounds like an excellent idea. And finally then, is there anything about the concert you would change? If you could change one thing, what would it be?
I suppose it would be one of those, maybe just a couple of the songs that sort of are more in line with my personal favourites of Yes. So Going For The One, you know, is one of my favourite Yes songs, well, favourite Yes albums. I think it's excellent. I would say maybe South Side of the Sky as well as another song I like, or Long Distance Runaround. But I don't think that's anything particular you can change. That's just personal preferences, so I'm happy to leave it to the band to decide, really. They know what's best.
Excellent. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed for talking to us tonight. And when you've converted those friends of yours, make sure they listen to the Yes Music podcast to get them started. That would be marvellous. So thank you very much indeed for coming along this evening.
Thanks a lot for everything, and, you know, the podcast is really excellent, and, you know, it's one of the strange times when you like doing your homework, isn't it? Tomato to listen to after this, and then I'll drama another run through as well soon, so, yeah, it's brilliant. Well done.
Well, it's great to hear your dedication to the cause, so thank you very much again.
Well, someone's got to be on side in the press, haven't they?